Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 3 of week number 40, studying Mark chapter 12. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free resources, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Miss any recent programs? You can always access our broadcasts at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Remember this, as we study through Mark chapter by chapter, thought by thought, verse by verse, and in some cases even word by word, the move from where we are to where we need to be, in other words, the be like Jesus model, that will never be far from any text that we are in at the moment. No passage will ever be far from modeling Jesus. No verse, no word, no thought will ever be far from God's desire for our faith, our repentance, our death to self and sin, and alive to and for Christ in baptism, and the need for our ongoing daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. It's always there. It's anticipated in the opening verses of Mark 1, and it's realized in the closing verses of Mark chapter 16. At the end of our last study, we nearly completed our expanded outline of Mark chapter 12. We finished that outline and then start our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of the chapter. The last section of the outline from Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus and the treasury, the widow's mite, lessons about giving. Verse 41, Jesus was sitting near the treasury. He saw how people were putting money into the treasury. He observed that those who were rich put in much. Verse 42, a widow came to the treasury. She was described as a poor widow. She threw in 2 mites, which amounted to a quadrants. Verse 43, Jesus called his disciples to himself, and he said this to them, "This widow put in more than all the others." Verse 44, "For the others gave out of their abundance, but this widow gave out of her poverty. She gave all that she had. She gave her whole livelihood." That concludes our expanded outline of Mark chapter 12. Let's now get into our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of the chapter. Mark 12, verses 1 through 12. Jesus' parable, the vineyard and the vine dressers. The history of prophets' persecution in miniature, the religious leaders' response to Jesus' parable. In our recent studies, we have emphasized these distinct shifts. First, Jesus and the disciples were moving physically closer to the city of Jerusalem. Much of Jesus' public ministry took place in the northern province of Galilee. But as Mark's account moves forward, Jesus moved out of Galilee to the Transjordan area and then south toward Jerusalem. We traced those physical movements in much more detail in previous broadcasts. Second, Jesus and the disciples were also moving closer to Jerusalem, not just in space, but in time. Third, even more specifically, Jesus and the disciples, more so Jesus than the apostles, were moving toward the fulfillment of prophecy. And fourth, ultimately, Jesus and the 12 were moving closer to accomplishing Jesus' final objective, his death on the cross for the sins of mankind. At the start of Mark chapter 11, the previous chapter that we studied, Jesus and the disciples drew near Jerusalem. They came to the small villages of Bethphage and Bethany, both of them on the Mount of Olives, just outside of Jerusalem. From there, Jesus sent 2 disciples to bring a colt to himself. Mark 11, verses 1 and following. Jesus rode on that colt into Jerusalem at the beginning of Passover week. He was praised by the multitudes as he did so. Mark 11, verses 7 and following. In the context that follows, we see Jesus begin his daily trips into the city of Jerusalem and into the temple area. On his first trip there, he surveyed the temple. But because the hour was late, Jesus traveled to Bethany with the 12 to spend the night. Chapter 11, verse 11 and following. On their return the next day, Jesus cursed the fruitless fig tree. He entered the city and he went to the temple. There, Jesus drove out the merchants and the money changers, taking them all to task for making my house, as he called it, a den of thieves. Chapter 11, verse 12 and following. That night, Jesus and the disciples left Jerusalem again. Verse 19 of Mark 11. The next day, while en route to the city, Jesus and the apostles passed by the fig tree. Verse 20 and following. They entered the city. Verse 27. And as Jesus was walking in the temple, he was challenged by the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Verse 28. They wanted to know what authority Jesus had to do what he did, and they wanted to know who gave you this authority. Verse 28. Jesus engaged them with a question of his own. Mark 11, 29 and 30 tells us, "But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." These religious leaders considered each of the alternatives that Jesus proposed, reasoning from the options to the consequences. If we say from heaven, he's going to ask why we did not believe John. And if we say from men, we will run counter to the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. Chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. Their final answer? Rather than choosing one of the only two possibilities, they dodged the question entirely by saying, "We do not know." Verse 33. The latter part of Mark 11, 33 ends with these words, "And Jesus answered and said to them, Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." As this new chapter, Mark 12, opens, nothing has changed. Jesus was still in the same place. He was walking in the temple, Mark 11, 27. There's no indication that Jesus moved from there. Jesus was still engaged in dialogue, in conversation with the same people. The priests, scribes, and elders came to Jesus, and they asked Jesus the questions about his authority, verse 27 and following of Mark 11. Jesus was, just before this chapter begins, asking his own question in reply to the one posed by the priests, scribes, and elders. These religious leaders were just now pondering their answers, and when they said, "We do not know," followed by Jesus' remark that he would not, therefore, answer their question, well, that all happened, as Mark reveals it, immediately before the start of Mark chapter 12. We have noted this many times before, but this quick reminder. To get the context of a new chapter in the biblical text, you often have nothing more complicated to do than to simply read the closing verses of the prior chapter. Here, as just noted, the same people were in the same place and still talking about the same thing. And that thing centered first on the authority question of Jesus, of John, and, as we are about to see, of these religious leaders themselves. So, how does Mark 12 start? It starts with these words, "Then he began to speak to them in parables." The pronoun "he," that's Jesus. The pronoun "them," that's the religious leaders first mentioned in Mark chapter 11, verse 27. Before we continue, a brief detour about words, including speech and non-speech texts. Why? Hopefully, it will help us see why it's so important in determining the meaning of a passage. The first part of Mark 12 happens to be one of many speech-centric texts, texts which, in themselves, often carry the meaning and the flow of the biblical narrative forward, independent of non-speech text. What does that mean? Let's take a moment or two to explain. There are 241 different terms that appear a total of 796 times in the 44 verses of Mark 12. The top three most frequently occurring terms that we find in many of the chapters remain the same in this chapter. Together, they appear 222 times, or just under 28% of the total terms occurring. We will note only one key word here, the one translated often as to say, speak, or tell, which appears 23 times in this chapter. Because it's one of the most frequently used terms to reflect speech of some kind in the New Testament narrative, we should not be surprised to see it as not only one of the most frequently occurring terms from chapter to chapter, but as a term that usually carries the gist, that is, the substance of many chapters. Speaking, saying, and telling, after all, took place every day and everywhere in the first century, just like it does today. In the biblical record, we are accustomed to find speech acts that center on Jesus' teaching, to the multitudes, to the disciples, in the synagogues, to individuals, to his adversaries, in the temple, and so forth. Jesus' conversations with people, including all of the above individuals and groups, in all of the above places, recurrently carries the context, its purposes, and its themes, and so forth, throughout the Gospels as a whole. There are, as you would expect, additional instances of teaching and speaking to, and teaching and speaking in, that is, where, that include others. For example, it would cover the disciples' teaching. It would include the disciples' interaction and their conversations with others. It would include the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the elders, and yet others teaching and or discourses with one another, with their followers, with the multitudes, with political leaders, with the disciples, and of course, with Jesus. The point, much if not most of the biblical record in the Gospels can be satisfactorily outlined and summarized merely by examining the say, speak, and tell words that appear within each chapter. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 12. These reminders as we conclude, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.